Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
On today's show, presented by Red River Toyota in Wynn, Arkansas. Online at redrivertoyota.com. We're back with the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
I needed someone to understand my ups and downs. There you were.
Jeff Calkins is columnist of the Daily Memphian, also host of the Jeff Calkins Show, 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He's on X at Jeff_Calkins. Jeff, how goes it?
I'm good, Gabe.
I'm glad to hear that. Now, I was looking at Tigers Athletics and their Twitter account or X account yesterday, and they said they were going to have an announcement today at 10:30 a.m. Now, you had the drop on it, and you understood what was going to happen. But I was sitting there waiting. Then I saw your story, and then ultimately saw Ed Scott step to the podium and what he had to say. But the Liza's Light University of Memphis Soccer and Track Stadium Fund. It's an initiative that's going to honor the memory of Liza Fletcher and also build a world-class stadium on campus, celebrating her passion for soccer and commitment to our community. $7 million for the first phase, grandstand and press box, women's locker room and lounge. Then the phase two is going to be the soccer and track, field team areas. But this was really cool. This was this definitely exceeded any announcement that I expected when I saw them put that out yesterday.
Yeah, it was and it was an emotional press conference today. I mean, if you go to the Liza's Light website, where people can donate if they're of a mind to, but there's also a video that they played at this press conference. And it's just incredibly emotional. Incredibly emotional press conference and the whole thing. Like, it is wonderful that this soccer program that has done so extraordinarily well, that they're going to finally have facilities that befit their accomplishments. Right. I mean, it's been an embarrassment, as Brooks would say, to have the facilities that they've had, and incredible that they've accomplished what they've accomplished. So that in of itself would be a nice story if that were the case, that finally the women's soccer program and ultimately the men's soccer program is going to benefit as well, and track is going to benefit as well. But then you put the Liza stuff in it, and it will always be an incredibly hard, heartbreaking story.
Yep.
In this city. I think it's important to remember that it's her family that has made the lead gift here. And they have determined that this is a really fitting way to celebrate Liza's life. Now, so much attention is and will inevitably focused on the way she died, but they want to focus and celebrate the way she lived. And so for her, you know, a Memphis athlete, an incredibly fast runner, a gritty soccer player who was on the first soccer team at Memphis that won a conference championship, and who, and I think this is part of it, who celebrated, who herself was a gifted female athlete,
yep,
but who celebrated other women athletes, who lifted up other women athletes. That was part of what she did. Someone told a story at the press conference about running their first half marathon and about how Liza trained with her and ran with her, even though for Liza it was painfully slow to crank out 10-minute miles. She did it because she wanted to celebrate and lift up other women athletes. And that's what this does. Like this project will ultimately be for the benefit of women athletes. So it really is the perfect way. I mean, at least her family deemed it to be a perfect way to celebrate Liza. So I thought Tim Buckley had an interesting column up that's gone up most recently. You learn. He was through the eyes of Ed Scott, the new athletic director. And he, of course, was there because, you know, he's now the athletic director. But he doesn't know this. He doesn't know the tragedy. I mean, he doesn't really know the story well. He wasn't here to plan the stadium. Like, he's just jumping on board, right? But as Tim points out, you learn a lot about a community when you learn about its tragedies. But then you learn maybe even more about a community when you see how it responds to its tragedies. And that what's happened now is the way this community, one of the ways this community is responding to this tragedy. And so it was really, they did a beautiful job. A lot, this has been in the works, honestly, since, you know, last fall at some point is when I first heard about it. And I commend everyone who was involved. It was really it was taking something truly dreadful and turning into something really beautiful. And if folks do want to contribute, they're trying to raise $7 million for the first phase. I know they said today the money has been coming in,
yep,
which I think speaks to the generosity and spirit of Memphians, and they could use more. Heck, my brother in Chicago read my column and contributed. I got notice that my brother contributed, so that's good. The more the merrier.
Yep, 100%. I do like, it's going to be there at South Campus, too. And it's been needing some upgrades for a while. But, I mean, sort of dedicating it to Liza and her life and the way she lived it, I think is absolutely phenomenal. I'll say this about Ed Scott, though. He's got a lot of projects he's overseeing here in his first few
crazy
months.
Yeah.
A lot of growth.
I mean, the football stadium is continuing to be just, holy smokes, what's that going to be like? So, that's what when Ed Scott was hired, I think I wrote a column about what's in front of him. It's always hard, of course, right, to take over but ADs come and go all the time.
Yep.
This is different. It's different because, well, first of all, it feels like, you know, three-quarters of the department emptied out when Laird left, many of them going to Missouri. But then they're in the midst of all of these just, I mean, truly the biggest project that the University of Memphis Athletic Department has ever undertaken, both as a construction project, but then as an ongoing project to run this stadium. Literally the biggest things they've ever undertaken.
Right.
And here it is. You're walking right into that. The biggest thing ever. So, welcome to Memphis, Ed.
Yeah, and then the biggest season in football, and also we got the announcement yesterday, Memphis versus UConn in the first game of the Maui Invitational. This is a huge inflection point. This year, these next couple of years are massive for just what the upward trajectory and the positive momentum of this entire athletic department. Huge.
Yeah, there's no question. Well, and honestly, it was nice for you to say, and I think it's true, that whenever you saw this announcement was happening, and for people who didn't know, people wonder about all kinds of things. And I think anyone who has heard about it should be touched and moved and whatever by the announcement. I do think some people were hoping, like, oh, you know, Big 12 or, you know, whatever else.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're not there yet. Put cart before the horse. But, yeah, it is a it is a critical moment for all the reasons we've discussed. It was funny, just as I was thinking about it, maybe this is not correct, but with Memphis football, we think of this season as massive because of the potential upside.
Yes.
Right? They could get into the playoff. Like, that's hard to do, but like, that's why we think of it. The incredible opportunity. For Memphis basketball, I think it's big for avoiding the downside. Like, they can't possibly miss the tournament again. We're not actually dreaming about how it might be. Like, this season could be spectacular, right?
Sure.
But that's not actually how you're thinking about it. This season could be like a slight comeback and get back into the whatever. I don't think people are having big dreams about this Memphis basketball season. It's more about getting it back on the rails, back in the tournament, and avoiding another year of last year.
True.
Is that fair?
I think that's fair, but no, what's hilarious about that entire thing, when we talk about the expectations in town versus nationally and looking at the predictive metrics for
right.
this basketball team, it's completely flip-flopped. It's completely opposite. Bart Torvin has him at 25th.
Football. Right. No one has Memphis football. All the predictive metrics, none of them have Memphis football in the playoff. But you typically have, you know, UTSA or Boise or whatever else, right? Typically, if you look at most of them, right? And yet you're exactly right. A lot of the predictive metrics for Memphis basketball have them being in the top 25. So I do think that whatever we think we know, we don't know. Like, and
right.
We should be open to. Well, I'll say this: I think it will be. If those are the bar, it's just that football just has a higher bar now.
Yeah.
So it's very clearly going to be easier for Memphis basketball to get over the bar that is set for it this year, making the tournament, than it is for Memphis football to get over the bar that is set for it this year. Making
yes.
a playoff,
yeah.
right? Like, those are very different bars, and Memphis basketball should. I mean, I would predict will make the tournament if you just had to guess. Now it is a gauntlet that they have set up for themselves in the non-conference. There's no question, but you know, one way or another, I think they'll probably get in.
Yeah, no, I think they will. I'm interested to see, though, as these predictive metrics continue to come out once they actually start playing games, if they'll stay as high as they are on them. Because, I think also what really strikes me about this Memphis basketball team, we ignored a lot of things last year by saying just keep winning. I don't know if we'll do that this year, right? Are you going to be watching, like, all these games with a little bit more of a critical eye?
Well, probably not.
Okay.
I mean, let's be honest. I don't really care style points. However they beat UConn, they can beat UConn. However they beat them, I'll be happy when they beat them. And I will be all in if they can manage it. So, I don't think we're really going to consume it differently.
Okay.
You know, I don't think if they put together the same kind of, I mean, yes, we'll say, you never know what's going to happen. But I think if they put together the same kind of non-conference season this year that they did last year, we'll be as exuberantly hopeful as we were last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think, by the way, it's not going to collapse. You know, whatever, like, that was, and I do think that in the end, it just couldn't be clearer. Those people hated each other. You know what I mean? Like, it couldn't be clearer. That is not a typical performance of a basketball team.
Right.
There was something going badly awry, right, internally. And so I don't really worry about that repeating itself. I guess if you're saying the way that they had to continually, you know, pull out close games,
right.
And instead, all we would do is we were celebrating,
winning,
making last-second shots, right? As opposed to wondering about the underlying metrics, which were pointing out that they weren't as good as people thought. That you have a point there.
Now, speaking of Hawaii and Maui in general, with the Tigers going over there for the Maui Invitational, how much do you like this story? Love this story? Delaware State missed a flight, 10.5-hour flight on their way to Honolulu. I there's a couple of things that strike me. One, for you to be that beyond like timing and not understand the timing of, you know, taking 65 to 85 football players through security checks and everything else, not even have a chartered flight. You have to drive to JFK. You couldn't even make it on time. That blows my mind.
You have to tell me what happened.
So what happened? Delaware State is playing Hawaii on Saturday, 10.5-hour flight, and they missed their flight because they got caught up in they were just late. They were just late because of the bus, loading the bus, getting through security, checking bags, doing the whole thing. So they're working on another plan to try to get out there. The first part of the timing of the whole thing, getting to JFK, getting caught in traffic, not having any foresight on that's nuts. The other part of this that strikes me, you're getting paid by Hawaii to go over to Honolulu and play them, but you didn't think about the fact that you probably should charter a flight, considering use some of that money to charter the flight, because, you know, a charter can't leave without you. If you go and just book a Delta flight for 65 to 85 to 100 people, including support staff, they can leave without you, and it's going to be really hard to even get to the gate and make that happen. That's insane to me, this entire story, but it does show that week zero's here. College football's here.
It is funny. It's very clear. When I started at when I started in Memphis, people fly commercial all the time. You know, heck, pro teams would fly commercial. You know, not football teams as much, but certainly NBA teams. Like, you would see pro athletes in the airports once upon a time. And very clearly, even when Cal was here, I remember this because Gary Parrish would tell stories about, talking to the players at the airport. You could get them as they were sitting there waiting for the plane at the airport.
Yeah.
And so that has completely changed. It's obviously, unless there was some unexpected, traffic doesn't work. If there was some truly unexpected calamity, right, that threw everything off, otherwise,
starting quarterback overslept.
There is no excuse. And I, it goes to show, are you a get to the airport early guy?
Yes,
or
way too early. I don't mess around. Well, in Memphis, I think
how
you
early?
Can afford to mess around a little bit. I like being there 2 hours ahead of time.
Not at Memphis.
I know how the airport works, but you know, when I'm out of town trying to get back to Memphis, I am 2 hours ahead of time every time.
I do think that just fundamentally, why create stress for yourself, right? You don't want to be in that position. And even at Memphis, I've been in some pretty long lines. And so why be in a position where you're sitting there 70 people back waiting to go through security, wondering if you're going to make it?
Yeah.
It's just make it easy on yourself by getting there in a decent time. I think it makes sense. And absolutely, if you're flying with, how many players do they fly into Hawaii?
Probably like 65 to 85. I have no idea. It just blows my mind, the planning here. I can't understand
the
travel liaison's job is probably maybe on the line. I can say that.
Holy smokes. Yeah, that's a disaster.
I will say, if you were planning the 10.5-hour flight, Connor and I were talking about this earlier, you're planning the 10.5-hour flight commercial over to Honolulu, and you realize that 65 to 85 seats are going to be completely empty, you're probably happy.
That would be a great
10.5-hour flight. Let's balance this thing out. I need a whole row to myself.
You do wonder, if there's 85 people who are late for a flight, you do wonder if the flight waits a few minutes. they clearly don't wait for you or me or whatever else. But wait for 85 people? You think they might wait for 10 minutes, right, to push back from the gateway, but the jetway, I guess you call it. But anyway, I'm sorry to hear that.
I have an interesting question about layovers, right? With a layover, even if you have like a three-hour layover, what do you do first? Do you just look at where the gate's at and then go get your food do whatever?
No,
do you have to walk up,
no,
see that the gate's there, and then move on? Because that's what I have to do.
I have thought about this, and I think I guess I think everyone does what I do, or most people do what I do, which is go find the gate, walk to the gate, situate yourself at the gate, and say, okay, there's the gate. It exists.
It could be an eight-hour layover. I do the same thing,
Jeff. And I go to the gate. There's no way I would stop to get a sandwich and whatever before I get. I'll go get the sandwich. And even if it means circling back to where I began, I will go physically look at the gate. And I think human beings, without ever discussing it, like my father never told me, Jeff, this is how you handle a layover. You go look at the gate. I think we have that instinct. It's like a homing pigeon. I just think we know we have to assure ourselves that the gate is there. Does Connor do it differently?
I need you to chime in here, Connor, on this. Do you have to go see the gate, regardless of the layout?
You have to.
It's nuts.
100%. No one has ever told you that, Connor, right?
No.
It's just human instinct.
Right, it's human instinct.
And it's not even that it's like I just have to see that the gate exists. It's not even that, like, I just have to see that it's there.
I need to see it's there, that I know where it is, and now I can go about my business.
Then I can go get my Wolfgang Puck sandwich at the...
I think if you're at the airport and you're sitting at the gate and you just look, I think you'll see people doing that. You'll see people walking up, noticing the gate, and then heading off to get their Wolfgang cups or their California Kitchen pizza or whatever else.
Yeah.
You know, they're gonna. That's what they.
Or the airport chilies. Airport chilies might be undefeated. That's where I enjoy all my chilies.
It is supreme arrogance to just go get the Wolfgang sandwich before you go to the gate. You deserve to miss your flight if you do that. So, we agree on this.
Yes.
This is one thing we agree on.
Yes, talking with Jeff Calkins, @Jeff_Calkins. I know you talked about it yesterday, but what'd you think about Tua speaking on the differences between Brian Flores and Mike McDaniel? Called Brian Flores a terrible person and basically went on to say, Mike McDaniel, most positive guy in the world, focuses on what I do well. Brian Flores told me I was a piece of garbage every day.
Someone I saw today commented, it's going to be hard for Brian Flores to ever get another job after this trashing that he'd gotten from his quarterback, because the main job of a head coach is to develop a quarterback in this NFL. And I disagree with that to this extent. I think Brian Flores had other baggage,
yes,
right, before. And so, but if it were someone with a, you know, clean slate, no one had ever said a nasty word about him, everyone thought he was great, whatever else. The fact that one quarterback trashed him, I don't think would ruin him forever. I think the problem that he would face now is that he already had, you know, there's some history there. I'm not weighing in on it one way or another, but we know there's been some history there with him as an employee. So we'll see, whatever.
Yeah.
In terms of, it's interesting though, because I didn't see, and I'm team be a decent human being, don't trash people.
Like, sure.
That's the team. But I actually didn't see much evidence that Tua offered that he was a horrible person. He was a guy who used negative reinforcement, right? And much in the way that lots of people have. Bobby Knight, like famously, right? Like how many coaches have approached their job by tearing people down or by being tough or whatever it is, right? I don't think Brian Flores is the first person to do that.
No.
And to go from a Brian Flores to a coach who believes in you, and not just believes in you, surrounds you with unbelievable talent, designs a system to, you know, perfect for you that actually makes you look better than you probably are, I understand why Tua would be thrilled with his current situation. He basically said about Flores was hard on me. He didn't like me. He didn't think I was good enough. And it's understandable that you would then not like that person. But where is the evidence that he's, quote-unquote, a horrible person, except for the fact that he didn't think Tua was a good quarterback?
Yeah, but the one thing that I will push back on a little bit when it comes to, like, Brian Flores getting another head coaching job, and I agree, like, all the other baggage is going to keep him from getting a head coaching job with what he said about, Stephen Ross and everything else with the Dolphins and trying to, like, actively tank.
He's involved in a lawsuit, right? Wasn't he?
Right, yeah, he's involved in a discrimination lawsuit. That's going to keep him away from head coaching more than anything. But I do think, like, in this day and age, to tear down a top five quarterback that you've hinged the, entire franchise's fate on, they're already getting their confidence broken and shaken through the media and through their play. It just seems to defeat the purpose to just try to break him down even more when all that stuff's going on anyway. That, to me, just shows, like, okay, your leadership style may not lend itself to being a head coach, but he's a hell of a defensive coordinator, and a lot of defensive coordinators are hard asses, and maybe he can play that role. But it does make me question his leadership style as a head coach. A lot of head coaches have to understand. You have to understand every personality on your team and treat them accordingly. Some guys need a kick in the butt. Some guys need a pat on the back, and you have to understand that.
Was Belichick a big build-you-up guy? I don't think so.
But there's got to be a reasoning behind the trashing and tearing down. There's still got to be somewhat of a mutual respect there. And also, look at Bill Belichick now. Even when he was winning, did anyone want to sign there? Did you have a lot of players that wanted to play for him?
I am not going to endorse being a negative jackass. Not at all. I'm team.
But your point is, this is not the first time we've seen someone who's just a hardo all the time.
I also think, let's be honest, he didn't want Tua to be his quarterback. So yes. Because it's very clear, during this period of time, they were trying to get Brady, right? Weren't they trying to get Deshaun at one point?
Yep.
Did they try to get, I forget the timing of when he was drafted. Is he the guy who drafted Tua? Like, I forgot the how that works, whatever. But I suspect he didn't think, I'm doing this because I'm going to tough love Tua into being a better quarterback. He wanted to move on.
He truly didn't believe in him.
Right, yeah, truly. He didn't believe in Tua as quarterback. And is my suspicion. But again, I have very little patience for people who think that the way to get the most out of someone is to grind them into dust. I have very little patience with that. And so I'm glad to have said something because I much prefer. I mean, it's one of the problems with hating the Dolphins the way I do is I find their coach to be extraordinarily appealing. You know, he's funny. He's charismatic. He seems supportive. He seems to believe in good things. Like, What's not to like, except for the fact that they got this dolphin on their helmet?
Does it not? Sometimes with Mike McDaniel, it's a little much, right? I'm at. I'm like, all right, you don't have to be this goofy all the time.
Right. Yeah. He could be a little much. Yes, right. He's a Yaley. What do you expect?
For sure. Well, Jeff, I appreciate it, man. We'll do it again soon.
See you again.
That's Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins on X, Daily Memphian columnist, also host of the Jeff Calkins Show right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. And he has been brought to you by Robert Irwin Jewelers. They're the number one place to buy diamond engagement rings because you get more choices. Large collection of natural and lab-grown diamonds in all shapes and sizes. They make custom design of your engagement ring risk-free and easy. Peace of mind with the meant-to-be guarantee. You can buy your loose diamond and custom-made engagement ring at Robert Irwin Jewelers. You have 365 days to return it. And you could have a picture, you could have a drawing, and they will make that ring come to life. If you can dream it, Robert Irwin Jewelers can make it. They have free ring sizing for life, so if you gain or lose some weight, they can handle that for you. They have the free jewelry spa service for life, so if you buy your engagement ring or find jewelry from Robert Irwin Jewelers, you can bring it in, and they have a bunch of maintenance services that will make sure that thing stays bright and sparkling for life. And when it comes to affording it, you can definitely go and afford it. Ask her now and pay later with financing like 24 months deferred interest. Take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. But truly, Robert Irwin Jewelers does it better than anybody in the city of Memphis because they've been doing it for 40 years here. Howie and his team are very, very great at what they do. So get into Robert Irwin Jewelers today. They have three locations, South Haven, Bartlett, and the brand new diamond showroom on Perkins Extended. You can also go online at rijewelers.com. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers. Now let's transition into a little bit of Memphis football. We have new starting linebacker at the University of Memphis, Elijah Herring, coming over from Tennessee. He was a leading tackler there. He was a big get in the transfer portal. Let's catch up with him, see how he's faring in fall camp, and what ultimately made him make the decision to get here to the city of Memphis to play for the Tigers. That's next.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
One Saturday away And then we will see Memphis football on the field in Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium against North Alabama. And a guy you will see is number 31, Elijah Herring, brand new. We understand that. Transfer portal came over here from Tennessee. He's on X at Elijah Herring playing linebacker alongside another guy by the name of Chandler Martin. Elijah, what's happening, man? How are you?
What's good? What's up with you?
Yeah, man, I'm doing well. I'm doing well. We're in the dog days of camp. How's your body feeling? How's everybody feeling? I know how it goes.
Everybody feeling good. We just got done with a good camp. You know, everybody did good. Everybody showed what they can do, and I feel like we're ready for the season.
Yeah, yeah. Now, how are you feeling? How have you adjusted to sort of your new surroundings here in the city of Memphis with that program?
I'm feeling good. Everybody feeling good. You know, took care of it during throughout fall camp, and just ready to go. Adjusting to Memphis has been that bad. You know, it's still Tennessee at the end of the day, but you know, just 6 hours away from Knoxville, so. You know, it's still some people I know around, some people I know on the team from back in high school, or, you know, they know a couple guys from, you know, from Tennessee, so everything just been easy go.
Yeah, yeah, but I hear you. So what went into the offseason and your transition and your transfer from Tennessee to University of Memphis? You were leading tackler on that Vol team last year. I understand there were some injuries along the linebacker with the linebackers that sort of thrust you into action. But, you know, likely you were probably going to get some more playing time there at Tennessee. What went into your transfer here? What went into that decision for you?
You know, somewhere to stay out because I didn't want to go, you know, too far up north or too far to, like, California or something like that. I wanted to stay relatively close to, you know, where I was and, you know, just stay close to family and friends. So, you know, looked around, looked at Memphis, seen what they did last year, you know, did some research, see what they did last year, and I like what they did. So, you know, it felt like the best option for me at that time.
Yeah, can you give me a peek behind the curtain with the transfer portal, how that all went? How many schools reach out? How does it all look? How do you, you know, sort of, you know, thumb through your options and ultimately make a decision? I mean, it feels like there's a lot of, you know, people out there that probably reached out to you as soon as you hopped into the transfer portal.
Yeah, it was. I would say it was a little bit of a crazy time. You know, had a good amount of schools hit me up, like Penn State, mm-hmm. Kansas State, Virginia Tech. You know, a couple schools like that. It's just being able to, you know, get the right feeling for them, and then I took a couple of visits. So, you know, just be able to get the right feeling and get a good feeling of the city and the staff and, you know, just the facility.
Yeah. How much did it mean to you? Because you already mentioned this. You said you sort of wanted to stay in the state of Tennessee. Not that, I mean, we're not that far from Knoxville, right? But how much did it mean to stay in your home state, to stay here? You went to school in Murfreesboro, you and your brother, who's still at Tennessee, by the way. We'll get to that in a second. But how much did it mean to just stay in the state of Tennessee?
It felt good just be able to stay here, you know, but just a different place. But it was actually good that I stayed close to home.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have to ask you this. Your brother's over at Tennessee still. Was it strange to, like, sort of leave a program that you and your brother were both on? Right? Was that a little bit strange in the moment?
Yes, sir. It was a little weird at first, you know. It took a good little minute to get used to.
Mm-hmm. Now, you guys are both number 31, all right? And I know you were 44 when you were at Tennessee. What is 31? What's that number mean to y'all? Because I would imagine, is there some family meaning or something there that we need to know about?
Yeah, it's more of a family meaning. Our granddad wore it back when he was in high school. So, you know, he played football. He's a sports fan of football. So we've just been wearing that number, something that stuck with us.
Yeah. I hear you.
And our dad also wore it. He was little too, so.
Yeah, so you guys both couldn't wear it because you're both on the defensive side of the ball when you were at Tennessee.
Yes,
so
right.
did you fight over it when he got on campus? Was there a little bit of, did we have to bid for it? I know that we don't really do that at the college level. They definitely do that at the pro level.
Yeah, but they more gave it to him because I was already set in 44, and I told him I was like, I'll keep it. So they ended up giving him that 31.
Mm-hmm. Now, here at Memphis, one thing that we have dealt with in the past, like this is a place where there's a lot of prolific offenses, right? And I'm sure you saw that through your recruiting, your recruitment here. But explosive offenses, we know that Seth, Rock, Demir, Mario, Sutton, all these guys on the offensive side of the ball are going to light it up. One thing that we have not had really since 2014 is a prolific defense. How do you feel about the way this defense is coming along as compared to years past here at the University of Memphis?
I feel it's coming along well. Everybody, you know, understanding the defense, you know, everybody know what they have to do on this certain play call. And everybody just hungry out there, want to make a play, want to make a difference to the defensive side of Memphis.
Mm-hmm. Now, talking with Elijah Herring at Elijah Herring 12, linebacker at the University of Memphis. How nice is it to play alongside a guy like Chandler Martin, first team all conference, a guy that's definitely a captain on this football team? What have you seen from him, you know, in camp, in your first camp with him, that you sort of latch on to like? Is it nice to play alongside a guy like that who seems to get everybody on the same page?
Oh yes, sir. Yeah. It's most definitely nice. Dude that knows exactly what he's doing and knows what you're doing as well. You know, just easier. You know, more talk and more communicating on the field. You know, if I don't see something, he'll most definitely see it. You know, communicate it to me throughout the plays, and he just made more stuff easy. You know, if I have a question, I can ask him.
Right.
Bam. He knows.
So how does it work? You guys are both inside linebackers, and we know that the inside linebackers, for the most part, are sort of the quarterbacks of the defense, getting everybody on the same page. How does it work? Is it a brain trust between y'all two? Does he make the calls? Do you make the calls? How does that all work?
I think we more just like bounce off each other. You know, somebody not making it first than the other making it. You know, it just really don't depend on who. You know, if he sees something, he'll say something, communicate to the D-line. Or if I see something, I'll say something to him. But more where I say it's about 50-50.
Yeah. Now, what are your goals for this season? Team and individual. What are your goals that you want to accomplish this year? Because I know, you know, from you know, playing for Ryan back in the day along the offensive line, that was something. It's a goal-oriented program, right? You sort of throw those up in your locker. What are your goals this year individually and team-wise?
Get close to 100 tackles, if not 100 tackles. I feel like that's something I can achieve throughout the season. What All-American, get All-American or
right.
All-Conference, something like that. And then just getting the team to the conference championship.
Yep, and hope and going and winning that thing. That's another thing. This is a team that has a lot of expectation on it, and I know you had to deal with that with Tennessee as well, with like fans and support and maybe a little bit of pressure. How much of the conversation behind the scenes has to do with that? Do you guys try to ignore it, or do you guys just try to realize that it's there, still push through?
We most definitely know that it's there, but it's something we don't try to, you know, like look at 24/7. We try to keep it in the back of our mind and act like we somebody that's not up there right now. You know, just keep working like we have nothing right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, I will say this. Your defensive coordinator, Jordan Hankins, I've had him on the show. Man, absolutely love him. Is he still coaching linebackers? He's still right there with you guys almost every day?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What do you think about Coach Hankins?
I like Coach Hankins. He's from hometown, so you know we know a good amount of people. You know the same people, so that just makes everything easier. It helps the connection and the bond.
Mm-hmm. Now, final thing that I want to bring up with you is we're looking at the stadium this year. It's going to hold about 32,000, and we have sort of the whole home side down. Have you guys paid attention to that? I know you had a scrimmage there. This past weekend on Saturday, was it just a little bit weird to see the shape the stadium's in right now?
Yeah, it was a little bit weird, but you know it was kind of cool. It had its own like little way to it, so it was most definitely interesting to see how it is.
Are you guys just sort of ignoring that going into the season, just letting that be what it is? Doesn't really matter. We'll deal with what we need to deal with.
Most definitely, yes, sir.
I hear you. Now, also, I did see that you had a And this is sort of new to the college landscape, right? With, you know, you guys being able to reach out and do these things, more community outreach. We have NIL. We have all these different things. You had a camp this offseason, look like.
Yes, sir.
Right? For grades 3 through 8. Take me through what that was like and sort of how fun that was. I think you did it in Murfreesboro at Riverdale at your old high school.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's some we trying to make it a yearly thing. Me, my brother, Arian Carter, Andre Turntime, and this other defensive lineman. We try to do it every year. You know, just try to grow some. It's a nonprofit. You know, so everything's free. So we get the little camp going. Let the kids do drills. You know, teach them some stuff that we know. Let them go out there, compete, have a good time, you know, for a couple of hours. And then after that, we feed them, you know, let them get re-energized after that good little work period.
Yep.
And then after that, we give our prizes to, you know, a couple kids that showed out.
So of those guys, I know you and Caleb both went to Riverdale. What about the other guys? Is Riverdale a lot more talented than I know on the surface right this second?
Yeah, Riverdale most definitely has some stuff on talent over there. They most definitely have some kids that can go out and compete with just about anybody.
Yeah.
And the other guys, Arian.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
He went to Smyrna, and Andre, he went to Edwards.
Okay, I got you. But you guys got the home crowd there. You talked them into making sure you got the home field advantage, getting over to Riverdale. Gotta love it, man. Gotta love it. Well, you know what? I appreciate you carving out some time. We're gonna go ahead and let you roll, because I know you're a busy man right this second, with everything sort of starting up with school. I mean, you got camp still or practice in general. But I will say this: good luck to you coming up in the season, and we expect big things.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. That's Elijah Herring, linebacker at the University of Memphis, transferred over from Tennessee not too long ago, really this offseason, and he was the leading tackle tackler over there with the Vols. So, again, I'll tell you this. We do expect big things. Seeing Chandler Martin, him next to each other as those inside linebackers should be a very, very good year. But he's on X at Elijah Herring 12. Now, we need to go ahead and grab a break, and we'll come back and wrap up hour number two next with Small Talk right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Here on 92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. We go to Sunday Ticket. I know they've been going through a lot, the NFL, with their Sunday Ticket package. They've had to deal with a bunch of litigation. But now they're trying to show all the new bells and whistles of Sunday Ticket. It looks like you can hook your fantasy team up to it, and you can see what people are doing, and it's pretty cool. It's a cool interface. But they actually came to the Apple App Store. They're releasing it on the Apple App Store for the first time ever. And the pricing here, you can get it, NFL Sunday Ticket on Apple, for the low, low price of $679.99, Connor. $679.99. And if you want to add the option of NFL Red Zone, it goes up to $739.99. There's a lot to like about Sunday Ticket. You get out-of-market games. You get to hook up your fantasy team. You get to watch anybody you possibly want. Those prices are absolutely outrageous. Somebody needs to check them. In fast, this is absolutely ridiculous. With all the nonsense we've gone through with them lately, all the litigation, the NFL end up, getting an appeal and overturning the case. Those prices are. You want to get consumers involved. You want to try to make it. I would think affordable for as many people as possible. That's not affordable. No one's going to be buying that unless you have a whole lot of expendable income. That's nuts.
I was gonna say, I wish I could live a life in which I could drop $700 on NFL Sunday. That's insane. Absolutely insane.
I don't understand it.
I like football, not that much.
I don't understand it, man. Like, $500 would be too much. I think $350 would be too much. It's more than I pay for my cable package and internet combined. What are we doing?
Some dummy out there is going to buy this without telling his wife. And then we're going to see the story on a Netflix documentary. She probably killed him.
That's ridiculous. What are they doing, man?
Greed.
I get corporate greed. I get all of that. But damn.
That's nuts.
You want people to enjoy your product.
Like
no
said,
one's going to buy it for that price, though. That's what I don't
like
get.
It's like triple the price of cable.
No one's going to buy that. No one is going to fork up enough money to go buy that on the Apple App Store.
You got
to
be Jeffrey Bezos to buy it.
Bring it down. You'd get more sales and probably more money in the end of the day. I wonder what person behind the scenes told the NFL, hey, you can charge this amount for NFL Sunday Ticket with Red Zone. Who came up with these prices? I need to have a conversation with them.
You know, I'm curious. I wonder, because a lot of bars carry NFL Sunday Ticket because they want to have the games on for people. I wonder if this is going to price out. I wonder if some bars are going to be like,
this?
No.
Well, I wonder with the bars, are they angry? Because the bars, like the commercial part of the NFL Sunday Ticket lawsuit was very big.
Right.
And it was a lot of bars going after the NFL
exactly.
NFL Sunday Ticket. Is this their way of just saying, screw you, throwing the middle finger up at them? Probably. Now that I'm thinking about it.
They got some legal fees to pay?
Yeah.
That's why the price went up?
Are they? Well, no, they don't. I mean, I guess
lawyer
a little
fees.
Bit. Yeah. But, I mean, is this their way of just saying, screw you guys?
Maybe.
That's not what you should do. I know that they're going to make money hand over fist, and people are going to still take the product in. It doesn't really matter in the end of the day. But to do this to your consumer time after time is just a complete disaster. It's stupid. It's ridiculous. It's greedy. And it's see-through greedy, too. We know exactly what they're trying to do by jacking up these prices. But for those that have just joined us, if you go on the Apple App Store and try to buy NFL Sunday Ticket, it is $679.99, and then you can add the option of NFL Red Zone for $739.99. Absolutely ridiculous. Dumb. I don't have enough words for it. But let's go ahead and grab a break. And I have more words that I am going to speak today because we have a third hour on the way. And I'm going to open it talking talking some Tiger football, Tiger basketball, what's going to happen in Maui now that we know the first game for Memphis basketball is going to be against UConn. Christian Fowler will join next.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.